Well, hello. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you're having a great day, that you're looking forward to our hearing from the Lord together. Again, I want to thank Jonathan for editing these and putting them on our webpage. I also want to thank Nikki, who types the outlines. But most of all, I want to thank our Lord, who loves us, who brings us into a relationship with Himself, who desires for us to know Him, who's given us this time to meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, that you love us, that you've sought us. Father, that you paid the price for our salvation. Father, through your Son, you've adopted us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you that a God such as you, powerful, in fact, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfectly wise, would love sinners such as us and choose to adopt them. Father, we thank you. Lord God, we want to know you better. We want to be able to walk closer to you. Father, we want to know your will and your way. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we go through life, probably the biggest single question that we have or issue that we have is knowing the Lord's will. Certainly, as we face major decisions in our life, major events, but also just the ebb and flow of our life, the smaller details. What does God want us to do? How do we know what God wants us to do? How can we follow Him? What is His will for our lives? As we look at Psalm 25, we see that this was certainly David's need. Look at verses 4 and 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. David is obviously needing and wanting and seeking God's will. And yet as we look closer at this psalm, we see the elements, the prerequisites, if you will, that are necessary for us to experience and to know God's will. The elements that need to be present in our life, the things that we need to do. So as we look at this 25th Psalm, we're going to look at a sampling of these verses. All of the verses are important. If I miss any, it's not because it's an unimportant verse, just trying for us to get a sampling of this Psalm. And I apologize if I'm jumping around, but I'm trying to keep a continuity of these elements that we can look at them, learn from them, and apply them in our lives. And so if we're going to know God's will, we first of all need to trust the Lord. That means we need to have a wholehearted dependence and confidence in Him. Look at verses 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. We need to have a wholehearted confidence in God. Obviously that He exists, but also who He is in His very nature. Think of what we read in verses 8 through 10. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. Drop down to verses 16 and 17. Turn to me and be gracious, another element of God's character, another attribute, His grace. For I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. So we need to trust the Lord, obviously that He exists, His nature. And that trust involves the commitment to following Him, to heeding Him, to obeying Him. Look again at what we think and what we read in verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Well, the only way that God can lead us is if we commit ourselves to this wonderful Lord who reveals Himself in His Word. The only way that He can guide us is if we follow Him. We must trust the Lord. That means committing ourselves to Him. Not just trust that He exists, but entrusting ourselves to Him as who He is, to His Word, that is what He has declared, His commandments, His ordinances, His precepts, that we commit ourselves to Him. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That wholehearted commitment to trust and to follow the Lord. So if we're going to know God's will, it's got to be based upon the framework that we trust Him. Yes, that He exists, who He is, and committing ourselves to Him, to following Him, to believing Him, to resting upon Him, to building our life upon Him. We need to trust the Lord. But then notice as well, we need to fear the Lord. By that I mean we need to have that awesome, overwhelming respect for who God is. Yes, we need to love them, but there needs to be an overwhelming sense of awe as to who He is. Yes, we know that He loves us, but there still needs to be just that sense of awe that frankly almost takes our breath away. Listen to verses 12 through 15. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. You see there, who is the man who fears the Lord? That awesome respect for who God is. Now, we tend to de-emphasize the fear of the Lord in our day in an effort, and I understand why, to try to make Christianity more appealing or to emphasize the love of the Lord. But by belittling this idea of fearing the Lord, we've actually lowered our vision, our concept of God. So quite frankly, we have a smaller God than what He really is. We think of Him as smaller than He truly is. And how can we trust a God like that? How can we rely upon Him such a way? We need to recognize Him, that this great God of the Bible is a God who is sovereign. He determines what happens. This great God of the Bible is an omnipotent God. There's nothing that equals His power. This great God of the Bible is a God of perfect wisdom, that whatever He chooses to do is truly eternally best, and we can rest in that. Only when we see Him in His greatness can we really trust Him, as we talked about a moment ago, and only then can we truly know His way. Only then can we really know His will. So we need to have a fear of the Lord. But then we need to wait upon the Lord. Look at verses 3 and 5. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Look at verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Again, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. We need to understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. I know we're a very busy, active society, and we prioritize, glorify being busy, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we hear this term, wait for the Lord, and we think, well, that means just sit around not doing anything. Just the opposite. Wait upon the Lord means that we continue to do whatever it is that He has led us to do up to this point. We continue to be faithful in the place He has placed us at this point, but we wait for Him to open the door. Certainly we knock upon the door. Certainly we seek to know His will, but we wait and make sure that it is what God wants, and we allow Him to open the door. Do you remember Abraham and Sarah? Remember, God had promised them a child, and certainly they wanted a child, but they got desperate. They got tired of waiting upon the Lord. They apparently thought God needed help, and so they concocted the problem with the Egyptian maid Hagar, and through that they had Ishmael. If only they had waited upon the Lord, allowed God to fulfill His plan, be faithful where He had placed them, be obedient unto Him. I'm not talking about being inactive again. Abraham was probably a very busy man. When you look at all of his herds and flocks, the wealth that he possessed, Abraham obviously was a busy man, but the idea is you do only that which God has revealed to you at this time. When He opens the door, or when it seems He's opened a door, then you proceed to follow through. But only then. We need to wait upon the Lord. But also, number four, we need to confess unto the Lord. You know, waiting usually turns out to also be a time of cleansing. It not only strengthens our faith and develops our faith, it also is a time of searching our hearts and souls before the Lord. And many times God uses that to cleanse us and to prepare us for that next chapter. You think of verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they've been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Look at verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Verse 18. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. In this time of waiting, in this time of seeking God's will for his life, it was a time for David to confess and to deal with his sins. and how important that is, because many times, not always, this is the key issue for that waiting. Certainly, if it's not the key issue, it usually always, at least at the very least, goes along with it as a time of cleansing. But I mentioned Abraham and Sarah earlier, and you think about that time of waiting upon the Lord, and you think about how that was also a time of cleansing. Remember how back in Genesis 12, Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife? And again, in Genesis 12, he did that with Abimelech. And it was there that God really brought him, really humbled him in front of Abimelech. It was obviously a time of cleansing, of repentance, a time of dealing and brokenness of the sin. But what was the result of that? Well, you turn the page to chapter 21, and guess what? That's when God sent Isaac. And so sometimes the waiting is specifically to deal with sin, or sometimes it's incidental along the way. But this waiting upon the Lord and seeking His will needs to be a time of confessing our sins and dealing with it. And so as we seek God's will, one of the important components is allowing God to cleanse us and refine us so we can be ready for whatever He has prepared for us. And so while Psalm 25 is certainly a Psalm of David praying for guidance, it's amazing, I hope you noticed that, it's an absolute confidence that that guidance would come. It was an absolute reliance upon God that His will would in fact be revealed. And it will be revealed to us if we, like David, will prepare our hearts in the same way. And so for each of us, we need to look at David's model here. And we need to apply that so that we can know God's will. And if you're in one of those stages of life where you are even more so than ever, some major decision, or maybe you feel like a chapter of your life is coming to a close, or maybe you feel like God is stirring your heart, giving you a restlessness, and you're wondering what God wants you to do next, follow David's example here. Trust Him. Have that awesome fear of Him. Wait for Him to open the door. Certainly seek and knock and look and pray, but wait for Him to open the door. And all the while, allow God to use this time to cleanse you and to refine you. And what you'll find is, like David, in His perfect time, He'll reveal His perfect will. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You again for this day. Lord, Your eternal love for us. Father, Your absolute trustworthy guidance. Father, I pray for each of us, O Lord, that we will be able to discern Your will and to experience it. Guide us through this day and through our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope that you experience God's guidance today, whatever it is you're facing in life. And I hope as you go through this day that you have a great day in Him.